All right, well, so let's begin. So we left off top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So if you remember again, the Machlokes in Mishnah was between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim regarding whether or not we will discuss Yitzias Etzrayim, the exodus from Egypt in the Messianic era. So Ben Zoma said no, Chachamim said yes. So the Gemara yesterday was dealing with this idea of what's the nature of the Machlokes. So the Gemara wanted to bring, so according to the Chachamim, even though we will make reference to the Exodus in Yimos HaMashiach, the Exodus will be secondary because Messianic redemption will be primary. And the examples that the Chachamim brought were like Yaakov Avinu. Even though his name was changed to Yisrael, nevertheless, Yisrael was the dominant name, Yaakov was a secondary name, but you see that Yaakov ultimately was not totally eclipsed by Israel. So too, Yitzias Yisrael will become secondary, but will also be mentioned in the Messianic era. So the Gemara goes on, V'cheinu Omer, second line from the top of Yud Gimel, V'cheinu Omer, Al tisko rishonim v'kadmonios al tisbonenu. See here, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya, which literally says, don't remember the first ones, and the earlier things do not contemplate. So the Gemara essentially, it's a chamar dashing over here, that kadmonios al tisbonenu refers to Yitzias Yisrael. So it means that we're not going to spend a lot of time contemplating the Exodus, Yitzias Yisrael, but nevertheless, we will still make mention of it. Al tisko rishonim zushibud malchios. Do not remember the earlier things. This refers to the persecution, Shibun Malchios, the Kadmonios al Tisboninu, and don't spend time contemplating the earlier events, Zu Yitzias Mitzrayim. That refers to the Exodus. Hinini Osech Adosha Ato Titzmach. Now I'm doing something new, it will now come to fruition. Tani Rav Yosef Zumu Chamas Gogu Magog. This refers to the war of Gogu Magog. Mashal Amaha Doradome. So the Gemara goes back. The Gemara says, how can we compare this idea as to what's going to happen with Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Messianic era? So I'll give you a mashal. Adam shayama halich b'derech upaga bo zeiv. Could be like a person who was traveling on the road and he was not attacked, but he fell into danger from a wolf. V'nitzal mimeno. And ultimately, well, we'll go with he was attacked. He was attacked by a wolf. Paga bo zeiv literally means he met the wolf. I guess you don't really meet a wolf on Shalom Aleichem. Okay, he was attacked by the wolf, and he was saved from the wolf. Fine. V'hayim esabre v'holeich. Maisa Zev. And whoever he bumped into, he told them about the episode with the wolf. Paga bo'ari. Then what happens? He was attacked by a lion. V'nitzal mimeno. He was saved from the lion. V'hayim esabre v'holeich maisari. And he told everyone about the episode of the lion. Paga bo'nachash v'nitzal mimeno. He was then attacked by a snake. It's been a rough day. He's then been attacked by the snake, right? And he was saved from the snake. Shachach maisa shnehem. So what ends up happening? So he forgets about the wolf, and he forgets about the lion, he forgets about everything else, and he only tells everyone about the greatest danger of the snake. Av kach Yisrael. So too with Klal Yisrael. Tzaros achronos meshachachos es harishonos. So too, or meshachachos es harishonos. So too Klal Yisrael, the later difficulties go ahead and make us forget the earlier ones. So what's interesting over here is, before we have the Messianic era that will ultimately eclipse all the suffering of the past, the war of Gog and Magog will still be the most intense form of suffering. So the war of Gog and Magog will ultimately cause us to forget all of the difficulties of the past, and then the Messianic redemption will cause us to even forget the suffering of Gog and Magog. Avram hu Avraham. So the Gemara now quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya, from Divrei Hayamim. Avram hu Avraham. And the Navi just simply says, Avram is Avraham. So what does that mean? Betchila na'ase av la'aram. In the beginning, Avram Avinu was an av for Aram. So Aram represents the basic place where Avram Avinu was from. So in the beginning, his reputation was just known locally. Ulebasof na'ase av l'chol ha'olam. And then he became a father for the entire world. Kulo. Sarai hi Sora. So Sarai ultimately becomes Sora. Betchila na'asis Sarai l'umasa. In the beginning, she was a princess for her nation. Ulebasof na'asis Sora l'chol ha'olam kulo. And in the end, she becomes a princess for the entire world. Tani bar Kafra. Cholakore la'avraham Avram over ba'aseh. Anyone who calls Avraham Avram, meaning anyone who calls him by his earlier name, violates a positive commandment, Shene Emar, because the pasuk says, V'hayo Shimcha Avraham. So the Yibar Karfon says, it's literally like Kadosh Baruch Hu is like an assay, and your name will be Avraham. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Over Belav. Rabbi Eliezer says he actually violates a lo sase. Shene Emar, Avram. Your name will no longer be called Avram. Elamiato Hakori Lusara Sarai Hachinami. So maybe you'll see the same thing over here, that whoever goes ahead and calls Sarai should also be over on Alav. So here's what's interesting. Hasam Kutcherbrichu Amar Li Avram, Sarai Ishtecha Lotikra Eshma Sarai Ki Sara Shma. Bless you. What's interesting over there is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes Sarai's name, the directive of the name change was aimed at Avram Avinu. Unlike when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes Avraham's name, God makes a general statement, you will not be called Avram, but you will be called Avraham. When he changes Sarai's name to Sarah, that directive is directed at Avram Avinu. And therefore again, Bar Kafra doesn't feel that if one were to go ahead and call Sarai or Sarai, that ultimately you'd be over an 11. We'll see, just you should know, it's interesting that one of the interesting areas where this comes up is in the area of naming children, right? People want to know, can I name a child Sarai? Maybe there's an English Sarai. Is there an English Sarai also that I used in English? I don't know. It was interesting. Somebody asked me, but it's actually dependent on this Gemara, meaning to name a child Avram is not really a Jewish name. I mean, Avraham ultimately is often enunciated as Avram, right? But it's not a lechatchila name versus Sarai. It's written as contemporary halacha brings it down. Potentially could be used as a name. All right. So the Gemara goes on. Hasanami kutcherbichu lamr le Avram Sarai ishtecha lo tikra eshma Sarai ki Sarah shma ela me ata kakore the Yaakov hachanami. So maybe what about Yaakov Avinu? Here his name was changed to Yisrael. So if you call Yaakov, maybe you should also violate the love. Shiny hasam the hader ahadre kra. The difference over there is that the pasuk itself reuses the name Yaakov. V'chsev vayomer Elokim liYisrael maros halayla vayomer Yaakov. So the fact that even after his name change, Hakadosh Baruch Hu calls him Yaakov indicates that Yaakov's name change was not absolute, like Avram to Avraham, but rather Yaakov's name change was rather the addition of a name, but Yaakov still stands. Masiv Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, v'itim Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. So Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, others say Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, raises a question. Ato hu Hashem Elokim, ashebacharta bi Avram? But 1 second. So the Gemara says we have this pasuk from Nehemiah, right, that we say each and every day, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the God who chose Avram. So why would we use the name Avram if his name has been changed to Avraham? Rather, the Gemara says, Amar le, Hasam Navi hu de kamesader l'shvachi derachmana mai dahava meikara. Because that pasuk is in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving us almost like the progression of events. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took a man who was just simply Avram, and you made him into an Avraham. So there the pasuk is not going back and using his old name. The pasuk is giving us the historical progression of the evolution of the Abrahamic personality. Begins with Avram, then goes into Avraham. Hadron Aloch Ne'emaseh. We'll say Mazel Tov. We finished our first parak together. Hayakori Batorah. No time for celebration. Hayakori Batorah. V'igiyaz Man HaMikra. A person was literally reading in the Torah, and the time for Kriya Shema came about. Rashi points out, Hayakori b'Torah Parshas Kriya Shema. So a person is literally reading the Parsha of Kriya Shema in the Torah, and Zman Kriya Shema comes. So the question now becomes, can I go ahead and discharge my obligation for Kriya Shema with this reading in the Torah? So the Mishnah says, Im kivein libo yotza. If you had kavana, we'll discuss what kavana exactly you have to have, but if you had kavana, you yotze. Fine. Now the Mishnah transitions into a discussion about hefsek, about interrupting in the midst of Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah says like this, Biprakim, if you find yourself in the middle of the paragraphs of Shema, which the Mishnah will discuss what's considered to be, in between paragraphs. If you are in between paragraphs, Shoel Mipnei HaKavot, you are permitted to go ahead and inquire of the welfare of someone whom you are obligated to honor and respect. So Rashi points out here, if you just look at Rashi, Shom ipnei hakavod, Shoel b'shalom adam nechbad. You can inquire about the welfare of a respected person. Sharo'i lahakdim lo shalom. So what's the definition of this respected person? Someone who protocol would demand that you would greet first. So you could go ahead, in between the paragraphs of Shema, you could go ahead and be Shom ipnei hakavod. Inquire about the welfare of someone you're obligated to honor. Umeshiv. And you're permitted to return a greeting. Who you're permitted to return a greeting, we'll discuss in the Gemara. Be'emtza, in the middle of the paragraphs, right? Rashi points out, either in the middle of Birchos Kriya Shema, or the middle of the paragraphs of Shema, Shoel Mipnei Hayira, you are permitted to inquire about the welfare of someone whom you are obligated. Yira literally means fear. Rashi points out, Tovim Mipnei Hayira, Adam Shu Yore Mipanov, someone who I'm literally fearful of, Shelo Yahargehu, that is not going to kill me. The Rabbi will say, obviously, this can't be understood literally, because if you're afraid that someone's going to kill you, if you don't say Shalom Aleichem to them, so of course you can interrupt Shema. You can interrupt whatever you want. That's Sakonas Nefashos. So it can't be a situation of active danger. It must be, but this is the type of person that you're really, really obligated, not just to respect, but almost to revere, because of some element of fear associated with this relationship. So even in the middle of the paragraph of Shema, you can inquire about this person's welfare, Umeshiv, and you could return a greeting as well. Divi Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda Omer, Ba'emtza Shal Mipnei Ayira, Umeshiv Mipnei HaKavod. Rabbi Huda says, in the middle of paragraphs, you could go ahead and inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to fear / revere, and you can go ahead and return a greeting to someone out of honor. Ubeprakim, in between paragraphs, Shal Mipnei HaKavod, you can inquire about the welfare of someone whom you're obligated to respect and honor. Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam. But you could return a greeting to anyone who greets you. Eluhein bein aprakim. So now the Mishnah says, by the way, what do we mean when we say in between paragraphs? Bein bracha rishon l'shniyah, between the first bracha, second bracha, these are the brachas prior to Kriya Shema. Bein shniya l'shma, between the second bracha and Shema Yisrael. Bein shma l'vahayayim shamoa. So also remember, Shema and v'yahafta are reckoned as one paragraph. One paragraph. So there's no, between the Shema Yisrael Shema Kenosh Shemechad and V'ahavta is not Bein HaPrakim. That's one paragraph. So between Shema V'ahavta and V'ayim Shamoa, Bein V'ayim Shamoa L'Vayomer, Bein V'ayomer L'Emes V'yotziv. Okay, so we'll say this logic is what we would assume means in between the paragraphs. Rabbi Huda Omer, Bein V'yomer L'Emes V'yotziv Lo Yafsik. Rabbi Huda holds that between Vayomer and MS Vyatsiv, you should not interrupt. We'll see why. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. So I'll say now, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha decides, once we're talking about the order of the paragraphs, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha wants to tell us why the paragraphs are in this order. Remember, the three parashos of Kriya Shema do not appear contiguously within the Torah. So Chazal chose to put them together. Why? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, Lama Kidma Parsha Shema LeVahayayim Shamoa? Why is Shema / V'yahavta before V'hayayim Shamoa? Kedei Shikabel Alav O Malchus Shamayim Tchila V'achar Kach V'kabel Alav O Mitzvos. Because I will say, what is Shema and V'yahavta talk about? Shema and V'yahavta talks about Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, acceptance of the yoke of heaven, acceptance of the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the phrase of Shema is the unity of God. V'yahavta represents ultimately my emotional obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's V'hayayim Shamoa? V'hayayim Shamoa is all mitzvos. All mitzvos. V'hayayim Shamoa tishmua mitzvosai. Sticks out listening to mitzvos. Shem Yishuv ben Karcha says, it makes sense to establish the relationship with God before you take on the mitzvos of God. V'hayayim Shamoa l'vayomer. Why is V'hayayim Shamoa before V'hayomer? She V'hayayim Shamoa noheg bein b'yom v'ein b'layla. Because V'hayayim Shamoa contains obligations that apply both by day and by night. Specifically, Rashi says over here, Dimishtoi b'talmud Torah, d'chsev v'limaritem osam es b'neichem. So specifically, the Gemara understands it to be referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is contained in the paragraph of Vayom Shamoa, which applies by day and by night. Vayomer, eino nohei ela bayom bilvan. Vayomer, who ultimately the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha at least feels, the primary topic of the third paragraph of Shema Vayomer is the parasha of Tzitzis. Tzitzis only, the mitzvah of the obligation of Tzitzis is only by day and not by night. Therefore, in the ordering of the paragraphs, it makes sense to put the paragraph that deals with mitzvahs that apply by day and by night before the paragraph that deals with mitzvahs that only apply at night. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina, mitzvos tzrichos kavana. What do we see from the Mishnah? That mitzvos require intent. Why? So where does the Gemara get that from? Because the fact that the Mishnah says, if you're going ahead and you're reading in the Torah, and Zman Kriyashma comes along. So what does the Mishnah say? Im kivein libo yotza. If you have specific intent to be yotze, so you're yotze. So Gemara says, you see from here that apparently just reading the Shema by itself is not enough. You have to have kavana. Quick look at Rashi Rabbos, eh? Shema mina misal srichos kavana, shiyehe miskavein l'shem mitzvah. That you have kavana for the performance of the particular mitzvah. V'tiksha l'rabba, darm v'sechus Rosh Hashanah, hato kele shir yatsa. So we'll say, if we have time, we want to finish the daffers, but if we have a couple of minutes at the end, I want to come back and say something very interesting about this sugya. Because this is the subject of a major, major dispute of misal srichos kavana or not. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya that you see from here that mitzvah requires kavana. According to Rashi, what's the definition of kavana? Kavana l'shem mitzvah. That you are doing this specifically for the purpose of the mitzvah of kriyashma. We'll come back to it. So the Gemara says, Mayim kivein libo. Mayim kivein libo. So what does it mean when the Mishnah says if you're leading out of the Torah, so you have to have kavana for the mitzvah of kriyashma to be yotzei? What does it mean you have to concentrate your heart? You know, kivein libo, the word kavana, kivein, is really from the notion of kivun, direction. What does it mean you have to, that's what kavana is. Kavana means having in mind a particular direction. So what does it mean you have to direct your heart? So the Gemara says, likros, maybe it just means that you have to have kavana to read. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Likros, the hakakari. What do you mean have kavana to read? That's what you're doing, you're reading out of the Torah. To which the Gemara says, no. The case of the Mishnah could be, Bikore lagia. Where what's the situation of Yira Bosai? You are going ahead and you're reading the Sefer. Why? To look for mistakes. So Rashi points out, Bikore lagia as a Sefer im yesh botos, da filo l'kriya nami lo miskavein. So Rashi says that if you're reading for the sake of looking for mistakes, maybe you won't even have kavana for reading. So Rabbi Tosas has a simpler understanding of this. Tosas says, no. If you're reading for mistakes, so what ends up happening? You don't necessarily articulate or enunciate each and every word, right? If you're looking over a particular sefer just to find mistakes, you don't have to say every single word. You could often scan most of it. So therefore, the Gemara says, no. The case over here is the person who's looking out of the Torah is looking for mistakes. In which case, under normal circumstances, you would not be yotzei kriyashma like that. That's why when the Mishnah says em kivein libo yotza, so this really is not a cognitive issue. This actually is a physical. Kivein libo yotza says the Gemara is kavana likros, that he goes out of his way to say, okay, now it's my kriyashma, I want to be yotzi like this, so I have to literally go ahead and read each and every word. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Tana Rabbanan, kriyashma kichsava. So here the Gemara raises a fascinating discussion. So Rebbe holds that kriyashma could only be said as it is written. In other words, that you can only say kriyashma in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. V'chachamam micholoshon. Chacham say, no, you can read kriyashma in any language you understand. My time at the Rebbe, what's Rebbe's logic? Amar kra v'hayu, because the pasuk in kriyashma says, v'hayu, that's v'hayu advar ma'ila, v'hayu b'hav yasan yuhu. So when it says, and they will be, it must be in its original state. So kriyashma is therefore, original state is in Lashon HaKodesh, therefore to discharge your obligation, you have to do it in Lashon HaKodesh. V'rabbanan my time ayu, so why did the Rabbanan say that you could say shema in any language? Amar kra shema, because the pasuk says Shema, which literally means hear, and you could hear it in any language that you understand. Or the Rebbe, Nami Haksiv Shema. But according to Rebbe, it also says Shema. What does Rebbe do with that? Rebbe understands that the word Shema comes to teach you what? That when reciting Shema, you must enunciate the words in such a way that you can hear what it is that you are saying. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, don't need the word Shema for that drasha, because Rabbanan hold like the opinion that says that even if you didn't hear Shema, you're still Yotzei. Or the Rabbanan, Nami Haksiv Hayu. And what did the Rabbanon do with the word Vahayu? They use the word Vahayu to teach us that Kriyat Shema must be read in its order and cannot be read out of order. So, Vahayu, Vahayu as Ramayel, these things must be like this, in this particular order. The Rebbe, Shlo Yikra L'mafreya Minale, where does Rebbe know that she can't read the Parshos of Kriyat Shema out of order? Nafgale midvarim hadvarim. They learn it from the fact that the Torah says vahayu hadvarim ha'ila. That hey hadvarim, these things. It could have just said vahayu dvarim ha'ila. Why hadvarim? The extra hey, which is the hey idea of the. These things means that these things must remain in this order. For Rabbanon, dvarim hadvarim lo darshi. The Rabbanon don't like that drasha that Rebbe is espousing just simply from the extra hay. So the Gemara says, now based on this, lememra, this sava Rebbe techala Torah kula b'chol lashon emra. Now apparently what Rebbe is really saying is that under normal circumstances, the entire Torah can be read in any language. And therefore, because according to Rebbe, if it was true that the entire Torah could only be said in Lashon HaKodesh, then why would we need the special word of Vahayu by Shema? It must be that the Vahayu of Shema comes to teach us that Shema has a requirement that the rest of the Torah does not. That whereas the rest of the Torah can be read in any language, Shema must be read in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, Rebbe says, not necessarily. It's the Mishum Dechsev Shema. So Rebbe says, well, not necessarily, because since by Kriya Shema it says Shema, so I might have thought that what? Shema tells you, B'chal Lashon Sha'ata Shomea. Maybe the word Shema tells you that you can hear Shema in any language that you understand. Therefore, the Torah must go out of its way to add in the extra word of the Hayu to teach us that Kriya Shema must be done in Lashon HaKodesh. Aye, but on the other hand, the Memra of the Savi Rabbanon, the Chalat Torah Kula B'chal B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra. But we could also infer from here that according to the Rabbanon, they must hold that the entire Torah must normally be said in Hebrew. Because if you were going to say that the entire Torah could be said in any language, then why halacha lemaisa would you need the word Shema? Because remember, according to the Rabbanon, the word Shema teaches us what? Shema b'choloshon sha'ata shomea. Hear it in any language that you normally hear. Which would seem to indicate that Shema has a novelty over the rest of the Torah. That whereas the rest of the Torah could only be said in Lashon HaKodesh, Kriya Shema could be said in any language you want. To which the Gemara says, no, not so. To which the Rabbanon say, not necessarily, Mishum Dechsev Vehayu. I might have thought that Kriya Shema must be said in Lashon HaKodesh as well because of the word Vehayu. Therefore, Shema comes to go ahead and teach us otherwise. So the point the Gemara is making is, from their respective drushos of Kriya Shema, you can't necessarily understand, or you can't necessarily glean from this machlokes, how they feel about the rest of the Torah. Okay.
There's no other parsha that we have an obligation.
Oh, so Barsha Givanta, so Tosas brings that up also. He said it could be dealing with, let's say, other kriyos, like Parsha Zohar. There are other kriyos that we have biblical obligations to hear, according to some Parsha Separa. So regarding other biblical obligations of reading, what would the Rabbanon and Rebbe say? Right, it wouldn't apply to your day-to-day kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara goes on, Rabbanon, V'hayu. Vehayu, shelo yikra lemafreya. So now the Gemara goes through a whole bunch of these drashos. Vehayu, what does it mean? And these things will be vehayu advarim ha'ila, sheyikra lemafreya. You should not read we should not read it out of order. Now we'll say, we'll discuss, we're going to get into what this means out of order, because there are two possibilities. It could either mean paragraphs out of order, or it could literally mean psukim out of order. We'll discuss. Vehayu shelo yikra lemafreya. Right now we'll just go with out of order. Hadvarim, right? Hadvarim aliv avecha. So the Torah says, these things shall be on your heart. So now I'm also getting into another interesting discussion. Yachol tehei kol ha-parsha tzvicha kavana. I might have thought that the entire paragraph requires kavana. Talmud lomar ha'ela. Therefore the Torah says, these things. Ad kan tzvicha kavana. Mikan ve'elech ein tzvicha kavana divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm also saying, listen to this. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, in the first paragraph, we say, Vahayu hadvarim ha'ela, alavavecha. Right? These things will be on your heart. What does it mean, on your heart? Rabbi Eliezer holds, on your heart means kavana. Kavana. That until this point, meaning until this point, which is the middle of via hafta, you are obligated to go ahead and recite this part of Shema with kavana. Halavai, we should recite all of Shema with kavana. But the kavana is a necessity until this point. Rabbi Amarli, Rabbi Akiva, Horehu Omer. But it also says, Asharnuchi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. But the pasuk also says, right? Va'yu advarim ha'el asharnuchi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. Mikan atolamad shekol ha'parsha kula tzricha kavana. Rabbi Kiva says, but it also says that same phrase later on. So it would appear that you require kavana until later on in Shema. Amar Rabbi Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Barachana said that the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. So both say, you have to understand, now what the Gemara is going to get into is a discussion about how much of Kriya Shema you actually require kavana for. That's the fundamental machlokis over here. So, Ika demasni la'aho. There are others that frame this discussion regarding the following braisa. This sanya, Hakori eshma, sorech sheyechavin es libo. If one goes ahead and reads Shema, they have to go ahead and have kavana. Rav Acha mishum Rabbi Huda omer. Rav Acha, the name of Rabbi Huda says, kevan shekivin libo beperek rishon, shuv einot sorech. Once you had kavana in the first paragraph, you do not need any additional kavana. Okay. Amar Rav Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halocha, Kirav Acha Sh'amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Barbachana said in Rabbi Yochanan that the halacha follows Rabbi Acha in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, namely that you require kavana in the first line and the paragraph of Vihaft. Remember, the Gemara is always treats that as one unit. So the obligation of kavana in Kriya Shema is Shema and Vihafta. That's not the bottom line conclusion, but that's where we're up to now. Tanya Idach, another brisa, Vehayu. The word Vehayu teaches us Shlo Yikra L'Mafreya, that you should not read this out of order. Right? So what does it mean? It should be on your heart. Rav Zutra Omer Ad Kan Mitzas Kavana. Until this point is the Mitzvah Kavana. Mikan Ve'elich Mitzvas Kriya. From here and on, what's the obligation? Not an obligation of Kavana, Rav Osa, but rather an obligation of Kriya, of simple reading. Simple reading. Rav Yoshia says, Ad Kan Mitzvas Kriya. Until this point is mitzvah kriya, mikan ve'elich mitzvah kavana. From here and on is the mitzvah kavana. So we'll say this is very strange. So Rabbi Yoshe seems to flip it. Rabbi Yoshe says until aliv avecha is the mitzvah of kriya. From aliv avecha and on is the mitzvah kavana. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? Ma'ishna mikan ve'elich mitzvah kriya. What does that mean? From here going forward is the mitzvah of kriya. Dichsev ledaber bom. Because the pasuk says ledaber bom, you should speak in them. Hachanami haksiv v'dibartavam. But Rabbi, remember, you have that same lashon that's just phrased in the Rabbim, where at the end of the paragraph of v'hayayim shamoah. So remember, we do have these symmetrical lashonos. It's just in the paragraph of v'yahafta, it's phrased in the singular. In the paragraph of v'hayayim shamoah, it's phrased in the plural. So Gemara says, no, hachikamar ad kan mitzas kavana. Until this point, meaning in the middle of the first paragraph, is the mitzvah of kavana, ukriya and reading. Mikan ve'elech kriya below kavana. From here and going forward, it is only an obligation of reading it, but not an obligation of kavana. Umayishna ad kan mitzvah kavana ukriya. And why is it that until the middle of the first paragraph, there is the mitzvah of reading with kavana? Dichsiv aliv avecha v'dibarta bam. Because the pasuk goes out of its way to say what? That these matters should be on your heart and you should speak them. So the Gemara understand that on your heart is a reference to kavana. So the Gemara says, one second. Hasamnami haksiv alivavichem ledaber bam. But you have that same lashon in the second paragraph, which would seem to indicate that the mitzvah of kavana therefore should be until on the second paragraph. So the Gemara says, no. Hahumi boile lechid Rabbi Yitzchok. That second piece of Alev Avechem Ledaber Bom is necessary for a drush according to Rabbi Yitzchok. The Omar, V'samtem Es Devarai Eile. So when the Pasuk says, V'samtem Es Devarai Eile Alev Avechem on your hearts, Tzricha Shetehe Sima Kineged Halev. What do we learn from that? That the placement must be opposite the heart. So we'll say, what is that a reference to? Tefillin Shalyad. Right? So that pasuk is already needed for somebody else to teach us that Tefillin Shalyad must be inwardly inclined, so that when the Shalyad reach, when your arm is resting against your body, that the Tefillin is pointed inward towards your heart. So that pasuk is already occupied, therefore, Alev Avechem is already needed. Therefore, we learn from there that the only time you require Kavana is until the middle of the first paragraph where it says Alev Avecha. Okay, we'll get to that Lach HaLemais in just a little bit. Omer Mar, Rabbi Yoshia Omer. So Rabbi Yoshia says, Ad kan mitzvas kriya. Mikan ve'ilich mitzvas kavana. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshiya said that until this point is the mitzvah of kriya. From this point forward is the mitzvah of kavana. So Rabbi Yoshiya said, that was a little bit earlier. That was until the phrase of alevavicha. Right, that was alevavicha. Right. Rabbi Yoshiya said, until alevavicha. So again, I should have Xerox just the Shema so you could see exactly where we are, but I'm assuming everybody understands this. Alev Avicha, until the middle of the paragraph of Yahafta, Rabbi Yoshiya said earlier that until that point there's the mitzvah of Kriya. From that point on is the mitzvah of Kavana. So the Gemara says, but what does that mean? Maishna mikan ve'elech mitzvahs Kavana. What do you mean from this point on there's the mitzvah of Kavana? Mishum dechsiv alev avichem. Because in the second paragraph of Vahayayim Shemoa, it says, alev avichem. These matters should be on your heart. Ha chanami haks, and therefore on your heart, the Gemara seems to, Rav Yoshi seems to understand, means Kavana. Ha chanami, but here also, ha ksiv alev avicha. In the middle of the first paragraph, it says on your heart. Ha chika amar. Ad kan mitzvahs kriya v'kavana, until the middle of the first paragraph, where it says alev avicha, that's where you have the mitzvah of reading it, along with kavana. Mikan ve'elech, but going forward from the middle of the paragraph and on, kavana below kriya. Kavana below kriya. You have the mitzvah of kavana without kriya. So we'll have to see exactly, if you take a quick look. Not yet. Okay. So Gemara says, "Umayshna ad kan mitzvahs kriya v'kavana dechsiv alev avicha v'dibartabam." So why is it until the middle of the first paragraph that you have the mitzvah of kriya with kavana? Because it says alev avicha on your heart v'dibartabam. You will speak in them. Hasam nami haksiv alev avichem l'daberbam. Aye, but it says in the second paragraph also that alev avichem hahu b'divrei Torah ksiv. That alev avichem is talking about words of Torah. V'hachi kam rachman, and this is what the Torah is telling us. Agmiru beinaychu Torah, teach your children Torah, ki hechi dilegarsu behu, in order that they become proficient in these words of Torah. Or in other words, the dibart alev avichem, the dibartam bam, is a reference to the fact that when we teach our children Torah, it can't just be another subject that we teach them, but rather we have to make sure that our children are proficient in Torah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. So I will say, we're still stuck. We're still stuck because we don't know how. I mean, again, obviously the Chatchila models, you have Kavana throughout the entire time. But the Shaila is Bidiyavet, right? What is the basic amount of Kavana that one needs in order to discharge their Kriya Shema obligation? So now we finally get to the bottom line. Tana Rabbanan. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Ad Kan Tzricha Kavanas Halev Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir comes along and says that it is for the phrase of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that is what you require Kavana for. Ad Kan, Rashi points out, Pasuk Rishon Levado. So according to Rabbi Meir, that is the core obligation of Kavana by Kriya Shema. Amar Rava, Halacha K'Rabbi Meir. Rava says, the Halacha follows Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, we'll come back to this, the Halacha L'maisa. Tanya, Sumchus Omer, Sumchus says, Kol ha-ma'arich be'echad ma'arichin lo yomav u'shnosav. So Sumchus says, anyone who prolongs the recitation of the word echad, so is given longevity as well. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov u'bedalit. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, what are you specifically supposed to elongate? The dalid at the end of the word echad. I will say, you should just know, for us Ashkenazim, so this poses a major challenge, because when we try to elongate a dalid, we can't really do it, because when you elongate a dalid, what do you get? You just get aw, right? Echada. So aw is not really elongating that. So by the Sephardim, so many of them who pronounce the dalid as a thought, like a TH sound, you could elongate a TH sound. It's very interesting. Okay, but we try our best. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says you should elongate the Dalit. The idea is, why are you elongating the Dalit? Because during that time that you are prolonging the sound, that's when you have Kavana. So Mishnah Berurah brings down, that's when you have Kavana during the word Echad. What's the Kavana you need during the word Echad? So Mishnah Berurah says you're supposed to have Kavana that Aleph, there's one God, Ches, that God exists on all eight levels of the celestial sphere, and Dalit, that God exists in all four directions. That's the Kavana of Echad. Amar Ravashi, or Bilvachal Yachtov Bechetz, but you have to make sure that your Dalid does not suffer at the expense of elongating your Ches. So you have to elongate the Dalid, but make sure you don't swallow up the Ches in that process. So the point is, one is supposed to articulate each of the letters. Rabbi Yirmiyah Hava Yosef Kameid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting before Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Chazye de Hava Ma'arich Tuva. And he saw that he was elongating his Shema, his Echad a lot. Amrele, Kevan da amlichte lemala ulamatu ulaaba ruchos hashamayim sulo tzvichas. So he said, take it easy. Once you've gone ahead and over the course of saying the word echad, you have accepted God's kingship above, below, and in all four directions, that's enough of the echad. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah was saying, that when saying the word echad, a person has to have this kavana that God is, again, God is one, God is above the eight levels of the celestial sphere, he occupies all four directions as well. That's how the Mishnah Berurah says that some of the minog, that during the word echad, one moves their head in all four directions. A reference to the fact that I accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Amar Rav Nasan Bar Mar Ukva, Amar Rav Yehuda. Alevavecha ba'amida. So Rav Nosson bar Mar Ukva saying Rav Yehuda that when you say the word alevavecha, it should be done literally. It means while standing. It doesn't literally mean standing above. Say what it means is not walking. That, remember, we paskin like who, like Beis Hillel, that how can you say Shema? Any position you're in. Any position you're in. So when it says standing, what it means is you should not be walking. The idea is that until Alev Avicha, you should remain in one place so that you could have Kavana. So the Gemara says, Alev Avicha Sakadaitcha. What does it mean? Just for the word Alev Avicha, you're supposed to stand still. Ele Ema Ad Alev Avicha Ba'amida. Mikan Ve'elech Lo. So what it means is you should be stationary until Alev Avicha, say that entire first part with Kavana, and then if you need to continue walking, you can do so. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kala Parsha Kula Ba'amida. Rabbi Yochanan says that the entire Parsha should be said while standing. Shouldn't mean literally should be said in one place. You shouldn't be walking. Va'az Rabbi Yochanan Latamei, and Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his reasoning, Da'amar Rabbi Barachan Arbi Yochanan, Halacha Kirav Acha Shom Rishum Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Chana, he holds that really the entire first paragraph should be said with Kavana. Tan Rabbanon, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkin Hashem Echad, Zukriya Shema Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. So the Braisa now teaches that Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, the great Rebbe, all he said for Kriya Shema was the first phrase. He didn't say any other part of Kriya Shema. Amli Rav Acha L'Rav Chia, Lo Chazinon Alei L'Rebbe D'Mekabel Alei Omachu Shamayim. So Rav, this is interesting, so Rav said to Rav Chia, I never saw Rabbi Yehuda Anossi in all the years that we were in Shir, I never saw him say Shema. I never saw him say Shema. Amar Alei Bar Pachsi, so he said to him, son of Torah scholars, this is Rav Chia now responding to Rav, son of Torah scholars, B'Shah Shema'avir Yodov Alpanov, Mikabal Omachu Shemaim. Do you remember when Rebbe used to go ahead and put his hand over his head, over his face in shir? That's when he was saying Kriya Shema. Bosai, by the way, just so you should know, this is the source of our practice of covering our eyes for Shema. Where does that come from? Remember, you don't have to do it. It's a tool for concentration. So where does that come from? It comes from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi used to do. He would teach Torah, we'll see for a moment, from the beginning of the morning, for already before the time of Kriya Shema, and he would stop in the middle of Shir to say that first Pasuk of Shema. And what would he do? He would cover his eyes in order to have intent. So that practice comes from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And what would he do? So now Rav Chia responding to Rav, do you remember in Shir, when we'd see Rebbe close his eyes, well, what was Rebbe doing? He was saying Shema. So the Gemara says, by the way, Chozer v'gomra, inu Chozer v'gomra. So all Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was doing in the middle of Shir was just reciting that first statement. The question was, did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi go back and say the rest or not? Meaning when Shir was over, let's say it was still Zman Kriya Shema when Shir was over, did he go back and say the rest of Shema or not? Bar Kafra Omer, Bar Kafra said, Eino Chozer v'gomra. He would not go back and say it. Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Omer, Chozer v'gomra. He would go back and say it. Amar le Bar Kafra, Rabbi Shum, Rabbi, Bishama le Didi, Da Amina Eino Chozer v'gomra. Right? It makes sense according to me. The way that I say that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did not go back, did not go back and say the rest of Shema. Hainu de Mahad Rabbi Ashmaita de Ispe Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because that's it, Rabbi Yehuda was always careful to always make sure that he always taught something about the Exodus. Why? Because he wasn't going to fulfill his obligation to mention the Exodus where? In Kriyat Shema, and therefore he made sure to fulfill that biblical obligation in what he taught. But according to you, said that Rebbe went back and did say the rest of Shema. Lama le lahadure. Why did he have to go ahead and always teach something about the Yitzias Mitzrayim? Kede lahaskir Yitzias Mitzrayim bismano. Because sometimes when Rebbe would go ahead and go back and recite the rest of Shema, he was already doing it when? After the Zman of Shema had elapsed. In order to ensure that he mentioned the Exodus during the time of Kriyat Shema, he would always include some Exodus-related teaching within his shir, and that way when he got to go back and finish the rest of Shema also already, even if it was after this man, he would fulfill his Yitzias Mitzrayim obligation. So the Gemara says the following, Amar Rav Ila Bereid Rav Shmuel Bar Marto, Mishmei Derav, Amar Shema Yisrael Shema Kino Hashem Echad, V'ne'enas B'sheino, Yotza, so also this is interesting. So Rav Ila said in the name of Rav, that if a person went ahead and said the first line of Shema, Ne'enas Bishina, that you could translate it literally as saying he fell asleep, but it doesn't literally mean he fell asleep. What it means is not paying attention. Right? What happens if a person says the first line of Shema, and then unfortunately, what sometimes happens is a person is overcome by fatigue. So essentially they're kind of daydreaming their way through the rest of Shema. So the halach is yotza, your yotze. As long as you said your first line with kavana, technically speaking, you have satisfied your core obligation. Amali Rav Nachman l'daru avde. Rav Nachman therefore said to Daru his servant, bepsuka kama tsaran tsaran. If you see me falling asleep during the first line of Shema, literally kick me, right? Kick me, you know, give me an elbow in the ribs, right? Wake tsare literally means afflict me. Do something that's going to wake me up. Tfei lo tzara. But if you see me dozing a little bit, you know, daydreaming during the rest of Shema, leave me alone. Amar le Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef berei de Rabba. So Rav Yosef said to Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, Avucha hechi hava avid. So he wanted to know, how did your father Rabba, how did he conduct himself? So in the first pasuk, he used to go ahead and afflict himself, you know, literally to make sure that he stayed awake for kavana. But more than that, he would not go ahead and make himself afflict himself. Amar Rav Yosef, prakton lo yikra kriyashma. So the Gemara says that, now the Gemara also is just switching gears to just a moment, talking about the position that one is supposed to be in for Shema. So prakton, which literally means, we saw this on Sunday, shochev al gabo. If one is going ahead and sleeping on his back, so one should not say Shema in that position. So the Gemara says, mikro hu delo likri hab migno shapir dami. So you're making it sound like that the only problem with sleeping on your back is for Shema. Is laying on your back is for Shema. But it makes it sound like if you want to sleep in that position, that's okay. So the Gemara says that's not the case. Vaha Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi layit amon degani afrokid. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi cursed one who used to go ahead and sleep on their back. Why, Rashi says, Layet aman degani aprakid, you're not allowed to sleep on your back. Why? Shema yiskasha evaro besoch sheinoso, v'nira l'rabim v'u derech ginai. So it's like, what was the concern? The concern was, is that over the course of the night, one may become aroused, and if one is sleeping on their back, that arousal may be visible to others. And that obviously is a lack of derech eretz towards others. So if Rabbi Yoshua said, one should never sleep on their back. So the Gemara says, Amri migna kimatzli shapir dami. Mikra af agav dematzli nami osir. So the Gemara says like this. If you're sleeping on your back, so you could go ahead and avoid Rabbi Yoshua's issue by simply tilting a little bit to your side. Meaning for sleeping purposes, as long as you're not fully on your back, it's okay. However, for saying Kriyat Shema, just tilting a little bit on your side is not enough. A person should really not be in a laying down position for Shema. So the Gemara says, one second, Vahar Rabbi Yochanan Masli Vikari, but I, Rabbi Yochanan, used to go ahead and daven, say Kriya Shema, just, you know, leaning on his side a little bit. Shani Rabbi Yochanan Debal Basar Hava. So Rabbi Yochanan apparently was very obese. So because he was very obese, it was difficult for him to sometimes sit up. So therefore, he would go ahead and just simply tilt a little bit on his side. side and go ahead and recite Shema in that particular position. So we'll say just one word of Halacha L'maisa on this. So how do we paskin for Kriya Shema? Halacha L'maisa, we require Kavana for at least the first statement. Right? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad is what is the core obligation for Kavana. L'chatchila, if you could throw in a V'ahavta with Kavana, that's even better. If you could double it up and do a V'ayam Shema, a Matel V'manoim, if you get a V'ayomer, Olam Haba's waiting for you. But at least b'di'evet to have Kavana for the first line of Shema. What does Kavana mean? So this we'll discuss more in depth tomorrow. The Shulchan Aruch records a machlokes. Mitzvos Srichos Kavana, Mitzvos Eno Srichos Kavana. Do Mitzvos require Kavana, Mitzvos not Kavana? Require Kavana. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that Mitzvos require Kavana. But the Mishnah Brura discusses that there are two different types of Kavana. There's what we call situational Kavana, and there's Mitzvah Kavana. Situational Kavana means that I'm doing a mitzvah. Why? Why I'm doing the mitzvah? Bless you. What's the purpose of the mitzvah? That I don't necessarily know, but I know that I'm doing a mitzvah. Versus real explicit kavana, which is that you know exactly why you're doing this. The Mishnah Berurah says when we say mitzvah srichas kavana, we just require the core basic obligation of kavana, which is just realize you're doing a mitzvah, even if you don't exactly know why it is that you're doing it. So halacha lemaisa, you're obligated to have kavana in the first line of Shema, and the basic kavana in the first line of Shema is what? The chatchila pertushu, as they're accepting the oneness of God. Echad, that God is one, that God occupies all eight levels of the celestial sphere and all four directions of the world. But b'di'eved, if a person just has kavana, that I'm doing the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, that would be enough to discharge their obligation. We'll pick up here tomorrow.